If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hello and welcome back to the Arty Friends podcast. This is Kara.
And this is Allison.
Today we are doing What Would Your Bestie Do? Our monthly advice segment where you guys send in your questions and we do our best to give our advice, what we think you should do as your besties. But before that, of course, we're going to catch up, do our peaks of the week, and then we will get into your questions.
Amazing. How are you doing? Monday vibe check. How was last week? How was the weekend?
We're starting off Monday strong. Did a workout class this morning. Weekend was great. I went to Mizzou, went back for a football game with Connor. Connor's brother and sister-in-law live in Columbia, Missouri, where Mizzou is. So we went down for the weekend, hung out with his nephews, went on Saturday to the football game. We won. Thank goodness. Mizzou pulled through. It was not looking too good for a minute, but we beat South Carolina. And yeah, some of my other friends were there as well, so we got to tailgate with them. After the game, I went to a friend from Omaha. She has a bar in Columbia, Missouri. Shout out to Greta. She owns Son of a Gun. So if you guys are in Como, definitely go to Son of a Gun. It's a cute neighborhood bar, kind of like a cocktail bar vibe, which, sorry if you guys hear construction. We are getting a new front porch today, which might be my peak of the week. So if you hear any saws or hammering, that's what that is. But yes, saw her, got to catch up with her for a little bit. It's always nice to see people that you know from home because I feel like they just know another side of you, even though I feel like she was literally the exact same. And I feel like a lot of people that I see again, I feel like they're the exact same. For the most part, but it's nice that some people know your background, know your lore. And fun fact, I told Greta and she was freaking out. She thought this was so funny. Back in high school, my first high school party that I went with some other girl. I can't remember who I was with, but we got to this party and at the front door, who let us in was Greta. And Greta was like, oh, I have some alcohol if you guys want some. And she gave me my first alcohol in high school. And I was like, it's so funny they open a bar now because this might've been your life's purpose. Like you helped me back then. And now you're helping all these other people. And she thought that was so funny. I'm like, I literally vividly remember you doing that. And she was like, what was it? And I was like, it was a Mike's Hard Lemonade. And she's like, yep.
I was just wondering what it was.
That's right. And I'm like, yes. So really funny to catch up with her.
When you went to high school parties, was it where everyone took all their shoes off in the foyer and you'd like get up to the front door and there would just be like hundreds of pairs of shoes. And then you'd always be worried that people would steal your shoes.
Yeah, I never wore nice shoes to those for that exact reason. But oh my gosh, what a memory unlocked that you just described. Yes, all the shoes in the front. And I was telling her, I'm like, I don't know whose house this was. It was some Elkhorn party. And because she went to Elkhorn, one of the schools and neighborhoods. And whoever it was, their parents were out of town because we were just like all throughout the house. Because we were in the kitchen and the living room.
Main floor. This is not just a basement party.
I'm like, I still to this day have no idea whose house that was, but I don't know.
Isn't it crazy to see things now more from an adult perspective? Like I even think how much, I'm going to say having 10 people over makes your house dirty, but how much you have to clean up after, even if you just have friends over to eat or something. And these parents were letting their kids have like hundreds of high schoolers at their house. We went to parties like that. Omaha, the high school house party scene was booming.
It was very fun. I mean, I have no idea if these parents knew that this was happening. I feel like they were out of town and like it was just a secret. I mean, maybe not though, because we came through the front door, but yes.
No, I feel like a lot of times the parents like were actually home and they would like greet us in the living room, because I remember sometimes them checking my purse to see if there was alcohol in there. And I'm going to out myself as the naughty kid that I was. So you know how in most purses, if you undid the zipper, like inside, there would be a small pouch that had like the lining in there. So on the vertical part inside the pouch where the seam was, I would rip that seam down and then put the alcohol down inside the lining of the purse. So if you just looked inside, couldn't see anything. If you open the zip pouch. It's like, oh, it's just my lip gloss in there. And then I secretly would have like a whole bunch of shooters or a water bottle or a flask and never once got caught.
Oh my gosh. That is so funny. Yeah, that's so true. People, some people's parents would encourage it because I feel like their thought process was, well, if it's in our house, we know that our kids are safe. They're not going to be like drunk driving or something. I don't know, which is true to an extent. But yeah, we had a couple parties, but never, it was never that crazy. But I did like having people at our house. It was fun. We had a hot tub. We had like a whole big backyard, a fire pit and stuff, and a good basement. Did you ever go to our house?
No, I was just thinking like, gosh, I kind of wonder if somehow I ever ended up there, but I don't think so.
Okay.
I remember so funny when you guys sold your family house though, a few years ago, and seeing pictures and being and thinking like, oh yeah, that's one of those like good family houses to grow up in.
It really was. Like, truly loved our childhood home. And yeah, it was great space.
Well, last thing on the Mizzou bit, how you went to the game. I feel like you're so good at going each year back to a game. Like, have you even missed a year since you graduated?
Well, I was supposed to go last year. Did not make it last year. All my friends went last year, though. I had a work trip that came up, which ended up being late como. So I'm like, okay, not mad about that. But so I did miss
como
everyone going
instead
last.
Of wait, yeah. Both comos.
Oh my gosh. Wait, that's so true. I was in como, just a different one. The better one, probably.
Yeah, if you guys don't know, Columbia, Missouri, people shorten it to como.
They call it como. It's cute. And oh yeah, fun fact, Allison worked at and managed a bar that was sister bars with a bar in Columbia. So you went down once, right?
Oh, like probably 6 to 8 times.
Oh, whoa. Okay.
Usually.
Which bar was it? Harpo's?
Yeah. Harpo's was the sister bar to Barry's in Lincoln.
That's crazy.
And if you guys are in the Indiana world and you know Kilroy's. Kilroy's is like so famous. That's also their sister bar. Well, now the ownership has changed. It's been like a decade, but
okay,
back in the prime.
So fun. Yeah.
And that's how I met Brady, Kara's brother.
Aww. Wait, working for Barry's?
Well, on a trip down to Columbia. What was that diner called? Like a classic 70s looking diner.
Is it Broadway Diner? Is it this one? Like,
yeah, that looks right. Like a very classic quintessential diner shaped building.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Or there's 99% Ernie's. Sure.
Mm. Ernie's or Broadway. Those are the two.
Well, that's where I met Brady.
One of those two. Oh my gosh. That's fun. But yeah, I went 2 years ago. 3 years ago, McKenna came with Julian and then missed it last year. But then, yeah, I went this year. And I was trying to do more activities like going to the student center because they have a big, obviously, bookstore with all the merch and things. Our bookstore is crazy. I mean, I'm sure all the big schools are, but they have a Lululemon. They have basically like an Ulta, Sephora in there. They have really an Apple store, a lot of things. I wanted to go in there, but we didn't get to do that. So I'm like, I feel like I didn't get to do everything. I just want to walk on campus, see the things. But we did get to drive through. We walked through campus after the game and got breakfast downtown and coffee on Sunday. So I did get to experience it 70%, but there's still some things I want to do. So hopefully I can go back. Maybe not even for a game, but just go back. And I have a friend who's in medical school at Mizzou, one of my really good friends, Mary. So I'm hoping I can go back and hang out with her or something. And maybe we can take a walk down memory lane and see all the places. Because every time I go back, we just go to the game and then leave. So I'm like, I want to do
things. And there's traffic and everything's busy.
Yeah. I want to do like the Mizzou essential activities. But
that'd be cute.
Yeah. But it was a good weekend. How was your weekend? That's enough about me.
Last week and the weekend were both very good. I got fully into the curriculum that we talked about last week. Honestly, I went insane mode. I'm enrolled in 10 classes that I made up for myself.
Oh my,
all of these classes have a unique name, a subject, a learning objective, a full syllabus written out for the entire semester, and it broken down in 2 week chunks, what I'm doing for all of these classes. So I was on my study, I was on my grind, I was making flashcards, I was going to things that I needed to for these quote classes. And honestly, I think it helped my mental health a lot because I don't like really rigid routine in a sense of like doing the same thing every day, but I obviously have goals. So sometimes the two parts of me, the part that really likes structure, but then the part that like needs freedom, are like in conflict. And so this was a good way to have things to work on, but it's like, it doesn't have to be on a set day or at a set time. And of course, all of the courses that I'm doing are ones I made up for myself of things I want to learn about. So it's not like it was a punishment to have to spend time on them. And last night, Clay and I were going over my first set of herbalism flashcards, and I was crushing them. I was like reading the cards like verbatim from memory, and he was like, whoa, like, how does your brain possibly remember that? And I was like, I don't know. I was just always a really good invested student. And so it's been very rewarding, I feel like, to tap back into that.
Oh, I love that. I did get some feedback. I had two people message us that they loved last week's episode. And they're also, they were feeling the itch. One of my good friends messaged me, and then another person messaged, but they're feeling the itch to learn and not brain rot. So it was a perfect episode. Shout out. And both of them said they hadn't seen on TikTok either. And I hadn't either, but now it's all over my TikTok. So shout out to Allison for finding this. It was good. Good feedback.
Okay. Yay. I'm glad someone liked it, because I know it's not for everyone. Like, a lot of people, they graduate and they're like, thank God I'm done. I don't want to be in there anymore. But because you can make it whatever you want, it's like your curriculum could be going to all of the bars in your town. If that's the story you want to tell, you know, do whatever you want to do with your life. If you guys want to see how insane I went or get any inspiration for your own syllabus, on my website, allisonweddig.com/curriculum, I put all of my syllabus on there with photos and resources, or like totally feel free to like steal the curriculum. If you want to learn cacao with me, it's all posted there. It's public. Go right ahead.
Oh, that's amazing. I will say I did take my Sunday free time and used it for my curriculum as well. In the afternoon, I went on my library app, and since I'm studying Spanish, I realized they have all these magazines in Spanish. So I was reading the Barcelona monthly magazine, and it was talking about they have Hotel Bar Week, and it was showing all the hotels with the different drinks and things that they were having for this kind of like a restaurant week, but Hotel Bar Week. And then there was like an interview with a local influencer who grew up in Barcelona, and I was reading it all in Spanish. And it was nice because I'm like, okay, it was digital, which I would probably prefer physical, but it was still a nice, instead of doing screen time of scrolling social media, I still kind of got to be lazy and scratch that itch of wanting to look at my phone. But I was reading a magazine in Spanish. And then home ec is going great. I cooked a red wine beef stew for like 3.5 hours last night. And again, it was nice. I put on some music, half podcast. But then I'm like, okay, I'm just doing something. I'm like cutting up this meat because I have said this before, we buy a half a cow every year. And there's a lot of like chuck roast meat that we never know what to do with. And I'm like, okay, I'm going to use that for this. I had to cut off all the fat, do all the measurements, boil it for 2.5 hours. But I'm like, okay, that was a nice activity that required my attention. But again, kind of like doing a puzzle or like reading. It was just something more stimulating and not screen time.
Yeah. And then afterwards, you can feel very good about yourself and validated of how you used your time.
Yes.
Because you're like, oh no, this was the intention. Mm-hmm. Like one of my classes being face yoga and acupressure, I was like watching all of these TikToks on acupressure and acupuncture for pregnancy and the lymphatic system. And maybe before, if I would have just spent an hour doing that, being like, okay, I did learn something, but like, I don't know if I was there a point to that. Now I can be like, no, I wanted to watch these videos. And I watched 2 cacao ceremonies on YouTube that were like an hour long of people walking through how they did it and how to honor the cacao. And it felt good afterwards to absorb media that I wanted to be absorbing. So I'm with you. Like it was very passive. I was just watching, but I learned something in the process.
Yeah. And it's kind of like, okay, now I just put an hour towards that goal instead of just an hour watching YouTube.
God knows what.
Yeah, I know. It's like literally what else? No, I truly think everyone is reaching a point where they're fed up with the brain rot, because I am seeing a lot of more educational TikToks or people just even having this discussion. So I think that the episode came at a perfect time.
Yay. Well, thank you for saying so. I'm glad your curriculum's going well. The last part of my weekend update, Clay got back from his 17-day trip to Omaha. And I mean, I don't know how you guys are in your relationships, but when Clay and I are not in the same place, like maybe we send like a text or two a day, but like we never jump on the phone. We don't FaceTime, maybe a voice memo here and there, but we really just both are not phone communicators. We're like present people. And usually if one of us is gone for something, it's for a reason, like there's an event or we're working or something. And so when he landed on Saturday evening, we just like had like an 8-hour catch up because we're like, oh my God, what happened in your life the last 3 weeks? Like I literally have no idea. So it was kind of fun. Like my own partner who usually I live with and spend so much time with, like, whoa, what were you doing? And it made me realize how bad I am at text communication anyway. Cause I'm like, I hope people understand like this season of my life with moving abroad, being pregnant, my capacity for text communication is like non-existent. And I'm sure most people experience this when you get married or you have a baby or you're moving, like a lot of people reach out just like, you know, how are you doing? Love to see all this. And I have never left so many people on read. It's completely unintentional. It's just like, I don't have the capacity. I'm trying to figure out like my visa situation. I'm trying to figure out Wi-Fi, trying to keep my body and my mind healthy for this baby, yada, yada, yada. But I mentioned that because if anything, I don't even text Clay when he's not here. So like someone shouldn't be that offended if we went to high school or college together and I haven't replied. Like, it's really not personal.
And I think inherently some people are good at text communication. Some people are good at voicing or calling voice messages. And yeah, you just might not be a texter.
Oh no. I saw this video pop up on my TikTok the other day and it was like, when you finally get the energy to reply to everyone and then they text back immediately and you're like, oh no, like that is my worst nightmare. It actually happened to me today. There was like four texts and then I was like, okay, I'm going to sit down. I replied and then they read it as I sent it and then replied. And I was like, oh dear, give me at least like 2 days, please.
You're like, wait, no, I'm not ready to jump right into this. This was baby steps, baby steps. Yeah, I don't know.
I think it's because so much of my life is on the screen with like work stuff and I'm communicating with like the girls at the shop. You and I do the podcast like this, the Airbnb guest communication. So when I think of like catching up with a friend, I'm like, I want to talk to people in real life. I want to go to my third spaces. I want to go to the coffee shop down the street. I want to go to my yoga studio. I want to talk to people in real life. I don't want to just sit on my phone and type.
Yeah.
It has nothing to do with people. It's just me not wanting to be on my phone.
No, I think that's so fair. And it's a digital, the digital landscape is not what we're built for. So I don't feel like that should be held against us.
I would actually, if you wouldn't mind, we should do an episode on this because Clay and I were talking about it today. It's called Dunbar's Law. And I feel like we could really tie it into Already Friends because it talks about how many people our brains were wired to have as close friends, how many people in our like inner circle, how many people in our village, and then faces we can recognize. And there's like actually like a formula for how many good relationships you can actually maintain. And then when you're going beyond that, you're actually doing yourself a disservice. And I feel like so much of our culture being like numbers and more, it's like, oh, all about having as many friends and knowing as many people as possible and keeping in touch with everyone and having all of these followers. But if you're just casting such a wide net and you're not going deep with anyone, it's like you could actually feel lonely and actually not have anyone there for you if you're not making intentional effort in the relationships that truly matter because you're spreading it to everyone.
That's a very good concept and would definitely be down to do that because yeah, you're right. It's more, more, more. And it feels like you need
for everything.
To have, yeah, for everything. A million different friends when maybe you need to focus on the quality.
Facts. Well, peaks.
Yeah.
Do you have anything else for catch up?
No, I'm good to do peaks. My peak is that, as I said, the construction, we're getting a new front porch. So that's going to be nice. Have a nice place to hang out and it's not going to look as gross. Obviously, I'm not going to out myself with my address or anything, but our old front porch was just not very cute. It was just very old. I think it has to be at least 70 years old and it was wonky and whatever. So Connor's dad has been building it for the last week and it's hopefully going to be done sometime this week. And it's very nice of him. And Connor's uncle came out and helped. And now Connor took off today and he's out there working. So after this, I'll maybe go help. I honestly, I don't know how much help I am, but maybe I'll go out there.
Like, call me when we get to decorating.
Yeah, I can stain it. I can paint it. If we're painting, I don't even know what the plan is, but that's my peak because that'll be really nice when it's done.
Wait, paint a picture for us. Front porch. And then
yeah, it's all wood.
Is it open air?
Yeah, it was like, it's like a wooden, you walk up on steps and then it's like a whole wooden front porch. And it was just really, really old and sloped and underneath was just a mess. So they took it all out, literally demoed it. They're making it a little bit bigger, but more just leveling it. I don't know. Maybe this is a boring peak of the week. I don't know.
No, I'm like weirdly, really, home ownership stuff is like fascinating to me.
Dude, I know. So many people I relate when they're like, guys, just rent forever because having a house is so much work. And it really is. Not saying you should rent forever, but it's just always something.
Yeah. And then also deciding what to do because you're like, well, should we fix the porch? Should we get a new washing machine? Do we get new blinds? Do we replace the bathtub?
No, it literally never ends. But we're very lucky that Connor's dad does this for a living because it's definitely saving us a lot of money because it would easily be like twice or three times the price if we had to hire somebody to do it.
Because you guys usually hang out in the back, right? You're not in the front as much and this maybe will help that.
Yeah, I mean, we live in front of like not a super busy road, but like a kind of busy road. So I never really am inclined to sit in the front because it's just like cars passing by. But I don't know, it could be nice when it's done. TBD. Otherwise, it's just going to make more the front of the house will just look so much better.
Increase that curb appeal.
That curb appeal. We got the landscaping done in the summer. Have some hydrangeas in the front. Have a new front porch. It's going to be great.
Okay, the holidays are sneaking up fast, and it is not too early to get started on your holiday shopping and actually have fun with it. Uncommon Goods is making holiday shopping way less stressful this year with thousands of one-of-a-kind gifts that you cannot find anywhere else. Uncommon Goods is the best place to discover extraordinary designs from small businesses and independent makers since 1999. It's truly the perfect name for this website because there are so many unique and interesting gifts for anybody in your life, and there's so many different niches. The mixologists, the gardeners, the diehard football fans, the history buffs, the book lovers, whatever your person that you're shopping for is interested in, you're gonna find something special and unique on Uncommon Goods. One scroll through their site and you'll know what I'm talking about. There's just so many unique niche gifts, and they're all from independent artists, small businesses, so you feel good supporting them. A lot of these gifts are made in small batches, so when you're shopping for the holidays, shop now because they will sell out, which is a great thing because we love a small batch unique gift. Also, every purchase at Uncommon Goods, they give back a dollar to a nonprofit partner of your choice, and they've donated more than $3 million to date. So get started early on the holiday shopping this season at Uncommon Goods. To get 15% off your next gift, go to uncommongoods.com/alreadyfriends. That's uncommongoods.com/alreadyfriends for 15% off. Do not miss out on this limited time offer. Uncommon Goods, we're all out of the ordinary.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
How about you?
That does sound really good. Love it.
Yeah, what's your peak of the week?
Saturday and Sunday, I went to a vintage clothing market, and this is like the biggest clothing market I've ever seen. I don't even feel like the posts that I put on Instagram gave concept to how massive this venue was, but there were no carts or anything, so I could only get as much as I could carry in my hands, and I had my bag, and I'm pregnant, and so I really wanted winter clothes, but they're so heavy, you know, like one leather jacket weighs a lot, so I'm trying to like hold things in my hand while also look through the racks, and it was very tough to really get in there and get as much as I would have really, really wanted. But I came out with, between Clay and I, 26 items, which is, sounds really excessive. However, we basically both like sold or donated or got rid of like all of our winter clothes when we moved to Mexico, because it's legitimately 85 to 95 degrees every day in Tulum. There was no need for like literally even long sleeves most of the time. And so I had kept like two coats that I liked in my storage unit, but that was like literally it. And the Netherlands gets actually cold, and it was starting to get, you know, some fall weather here. So in grand total, we spent 560 euros. And honestly, I feel like that's unbelievable.
Mm-hmm. For a whole new wardrobe.
Yeah, for both of us. Because a lot of the things we can share.
I was obsessed with your haul. I loved everything you got. And I'm shocked it was at the end for your portion. I'm shocked it was 400 euro. Whatever market you went to, that was a steal. And I feel influenced to come thrifting in Amsterdam. Like, holy moly, everything was so good.
I know. I could have, if they would have had carts, I would have gotten even more, but I was limited to what I could carry, which honestly, for dopamine, that's probably good. Like, I'm happy, I'm content with what I got. And they do this market often enough that I could like go in a couple of months. And then the peak on top of the peak with that, when we walked out of the event yesterday, double rainbow over like the whole city. Oh. It looked unreal. It was the most vibrant, crisp rainbow that I've ever seen. I just couldn't believe how colorful it was. Usually, I feel like a lot of times when I see a rainbow, it's like half covered up by a cloud, or it's kind of faint, or you're driving and it's just like, oh, there it was, bye. But this one was like that one of the picture of you in Omaha in the parking lot where it was just like,
oh, yeah,
the whole rainbow end to end.
Wow.
Then we were hanging out there talking for a second. Bike home, another rainbow. Then we get home, it like rains again, and there's one over our street, and we're like, what is going on? So I have so many pictures from yesterday. Someone read a rainbow, like they're amazing.
Did you look up the symbolism? I know.
No, of seeing that many
you
rainbows?
You should look it up. Yeah. What does it say?
Should we look it up right now? I'm curious.
Because I'm like, if you saw three in a day, I feel like that has to be some symbolism or something.
I was honestly kind of disappointed in the other passerbyers, like that were just continuing on their bikes. I'm like, y'all, pull over. It's Sunday afternoon. afternoon. What else do you have to do besides admire this rainbow for a few minutes?
Look at this friggin' rainbow.
It says seeing three rainbows in one day doesn't have a universally agreed upon specific meaning. However, rainbows are widely seen as symbols of hope, new beginnings, good luck, divine reassurance, and associated with a new spiritual or personal journey or a reaffirmation of God's covenant.
Okay, cute. That'd be cute. New beginning, being in the Netherlands, new journey, curriculum, school starting. So many things.
Yeah. So it was a good week.
All right. Let's read your guys' peaks. Bex said, about to start production on my business and it feels so good. Awesome. Congratulations and good luck on the business.
A very similar one to mine. Maggie said, thrifted a bunch of, quote, new to me clothes for fall. How exciting. Love that. I'm sure you found the best things. I know you have such a good eye.
Jonna said, going on a week-long camping trip in South Carolina for my birthday. In parentheses, we have a bus. Okay, so fun. Love that you're getting out in nature. Happy birthday. And in a bus, it's going to be great and so easy.
And Nicole said, my fiance and I are moving in together for the first time ever. How special. Congratulations. And I hope that you guys enjoy this season of your life.
As always, send in your peaks on our Instagram page, Artie Friends Podcast. We'll post that story box every Monday. Okay, getting into the questions. Do you want to go ahead and read the first question?
Hi, Allison and Kara. I'm really torn on a decision of what to do about a situation with my wedding. A couple of months after we had our wedding date, we found out that one of our friends who got engaged set their wedding date for the day before ours. They said they had thought that ours was this year, not next year, which I guess I understand since our wedding isn't on a Saturday like most weddings are, but I was really hurt that they didn't double check with us. Luckily, I was able to change our date with the venue to a week later, so now it's at least not in the same weekend. But we haven't really talked to them since we told them that we changed our date. The whole thing left a bad taste in my mouth, and I'm still a little hurt about it. My fiance and I aren't sure if we should invite them to our wedding, and I'm not sure if we're invited to theirs, dot, dot, dot. I don't want to burn a bridge, but maybe it was a sign that we don't need to be friends anymore. It's just hard because they are a part of our big college friend group. I don't know, help.
Okay, when I first read this, I definitely felt like you got wronged in this situation. If this happened to me, I would definitely feel frustrated, not only because in our friend group, everyone checked with each other if they had gotten engaged after everybody else, like our college friend group. Everyone was so kind, so courteous, made sure that they weren't stepping on people's toes and made sure that they weren't booking stuff on the same weekend because we realized we're all in the same friend group. We're all going to be going to each other's weddings. Like I am proud of honestly, Connor's friends. It's mostly his friends that is our friend group, of how proactive they were in that regard. So for it to just totally not be a question and they just on a whim booked something, I feel like they really weren't taking into considerations like how much goes into planning and how much money you're spending. And you don't want to split up the friend group on a weekend, or inherently there might be events on the same day, maybe like a rehearsal dinner or something where people are going to have to choose which one to go to. Or if it's even in different towns, different cities, people can't do both. So I feel like they definitely, the right thing to do would have been to text you guys, hey, we love this venue. They only have this weekend available. We're really torn. I don't know. Or even just like ask your thoughts. And also, now that you've changed it, I feel like something's off. They should have at least thanked you for switching the weekend. I don't know. Because don't they want everyone to come to their wedding too? Like, why are you picking the day before and making a conflict for everybody?
I fear no one is going to like my answer.
Oh, gosh. I'm scared.
I guess my initial thought is just like, it's not that deep. But I think this is coming from a perspective of not having a big college friend group, because yeah. I feel like I would accidentally end up being the person who did the wrong thing here, because I would not really think to check. I feel like I would just be in my own world and excited about the venue. I would be talking to my family. There's so many things to consider with a wedding that I probably would not be thinking about every person I've ever known and when they got engaged and when they're setting their wedding. I guess it depends how often you're keeping in contact with people, because I don't know, there's some people who are group friend people where the group is like a core thing and is reuniting, versus I've never been a group friend person. So I just like have friends sprinkled everywhere, and it would take so much effort and brain power to message every person and be like, wait, I know you got engaged in the last 6 months. Like, by the way, looking at venues, when are your dates? Like, that just seems like nice in theory, courteous in theory, empathetic in theory. But I just wonder if maybe with everything going on, if it slipped their mind or if it was actually intentional.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. I don't think it was intentional. But and like you said, if you're not in a group like this, then maybe it's hard to think about it, but like the whole wedding season this year was like our whole friend group, and every single, we were all in Colorado together, and then we were all in Chicago together, and we were all in St. Louis together. And it really would have sucked if someone picked the same weekend. So I kind of agree with Allison. Like, I don't think they maybe intentionally did it. And I feel like sometimes as we get older, you realize how people are in their own kind of bubble and stuff. I feel like you could just send them a text expressing how you feel, because this could be a moment of self-awareness for them, whether it was the groom or the bride, and just be like, hey, don't want to upset you guys, but maybe something like, I just want to let you guys know that it did kind of hurt my feelings that you didn't check with us. Because if it is your direct friend group, then I feel like this is valid. Just be like, hey, I did kind of hurt our feelings that you didn't double check that it was our date. No big deal. We switched it. I feel like it's totally fine, because I don't want you to burn the bridge, but maybe just let them know that it kind of was an inconvenience and it did kind of put you guys in a weird position where you didn't want to split up the friend group on the wedding weekend. But I feel like you should still invite them. I feel like you should be water under the bridge, or maybe just next time you see them, just say it in person, like maybe make it a joke. Like, I don't know. I guess it depends how close you are to them, but I don't feel like you should not invite them because of this, but maybe make them a little aware that it was kind of a hiccup and you did have to switch your plans around.
I'm trying to think back to the statements that we're taught when we're kids. It's like I statements versus you statements.
Yeah.
I think I would start off by asking a couple questions before immediately jumping into accusations of any sort of, like maybe they really did have it set, but they hadn't announced it. So before I feel like fingers start pointing or like, you did this, my feelings are hurt, why did you do that, da da da, just get the facts straight from both sides and then be like, okay, well, it's important to us too to have our friends. We want to be able to see, we want everyone to be able to come support you. We want them to be able to support us. And so we moved our date just to avoid any potential future conflict and would love to have you guys there on our special day and see how that tone goes. And then if they seem like they just didn't care, then
yeah,
that's like a totally different situation.
I know, honestly, in situations like this, it's men and women just communicate so differently. Like if this was me and Connor and someone in our friend group, if like the guy or something slipped up on this, it'd be so much easier for Connor to be like, you know, out with his friends, be like, hey, bonehead, why'd you pick the same weekend as us, you dumbass? And then like they would laugh about it and he'd be like, oh my gosh, we completely forgot. And like, I feel like that kind of scenario is what I would want out of this. Like, what were you guys thinking? Like lighthearted, but just let them know like, yeah, that wasn't smart. Like, you know what I mean? I don't want to start drama. Definitely don't want water under, or don't want to burn a bridge. Definitely don't want to make the friend group awkward, but something like a lighthearted comment, maybe through the guys. But I guess I don't know the dynamics, but I feel like if this was me and it was Connor's friend that did it, I would want Connor to be like, hey, silly knucklehead, why'd you do that? Instead of like the girls having to hash it out. Because I feel like it's so much lighter through a guy. Maybe that's gender stereotypes, but in my situation, I feel like that would be much easier.
Well, either way, whatever you choose to do, congratulations on your upcoming wedding. I hope that the tone of this situation doesn't darken or put a cloud over your whole wedding planning process. I think you can move past it and still have a fabulous celebration and forget about this and let it be about you guys and your love, not drama with people from college.
Yes. And I feel like there's always like one hiccup with a wedding planning process. Maybe this was your one. You checked the box. Everything else is going to go smoothly. And congrats, and hope you have a great time.
If you've been loving the weekly episodes of Already Friends and want even more real, raw, and unfiltered conversations from us, come to our Patreon page. Over there, your support helps us keep this public show going every single week. And as a thank you, you'll get instant access to our entire library of bonus episodes. We even go deeper, talking about things we don't always share on the public feed. Think shocking life moments, friendship breakups, controversial opinions, behind the scenes of our businesses, and so much more. It's only $5 a month to join, and we still add new bonus episodes each month. So if you're craving more candid, cozy chats, spicy takes, and big sister energy, head to patreon.com/alreadyfriends, select the $5 a month tier, and you'll become a member. We'd love to have you. And if you've already joined, thank you so much for the support.
Okay, next question. I'm currently working at an awesome organization with a great tuition reimbursement program. I'm thinking about going back to school and getting my master's degree, and my employer would pay for 75% of it. In this economy, is it worth investing in higher education? I want to do everything I can to future-proof my resume, but I'm nervous and intimidated to start an 18-month educational program. I have a husband, a house, three dogs, and a lot of responsibilities. Would love to hear how women are juggling balancing life and school and work and home and family, all the things at the same time, this just seems like something I can't pass up.
I think you should 100% take the opportunity to go back and get your master's. Whether you end up using it or not, receiving an opportunity to do that 75% paid for does seem something that would be really hard to pass up. And in life, I feel like every time we get a new layer of responsibility added, sometimes we ask for that responsibility and sometimes it just happens to us. Like you had to get a house, you eventually grew up out of your parents' house and it was just like, okay, gonna have to figure all this out. And you do it, you figure it out, you find a way, you restructure some things, maybe you get some help with this or that, but you make it work. And if this is something that's really important to you, I think there's elements of this that could be outsourced. Three Dogs, there's things like Rover and apps where someone can come help walk your dogs. At least there's three of them so they can help entertain each other. You can hire a housekeeper to help with the cleaning of your house. Maybe you and your husband don't have as many date nights during this time, but a short-term situation for long-term gain, I think could be really worth it. And even if you don't end up using it, how rewarding is it going to be for you to feel like you're investing in yourself and something that you care about, that you want to do, that is a yes for you? I feel like that's such a good energetic commitment to the universe that you're doing something that you are passionate about, and it will reward you in other ways for making that commitment to yourself.
Oh, I cannot agree more. I think you should absolutely do it, especially if work's paying for the majority of it. That's such a good position to be in. I guess getting to the part of how do people do this? I think life is only going to get more busy as we get older. I feel like there's way more responsibilities, way more things that get thrown at us. And you're really going to have to lean into some routine, ask for help. You and your husband are going to have to make a plan for how you're going to take care of the dogs. You're going to have to get a dog sitter, take the dogs to doggy care, make a super rigid plan on the house of days of the week, what you're eating for dinner, make meal plans, have a plan of when you're cleaning. I feel like you're just going to have to lean into routines heavily. And it's only going to be 18 months. So I feel like if it's chaotic and super busy and you're not getting as much sleep or you're staying up late, getting all the stuff done, or maybe taking your dogs on a walk super late at night, I feel like you just have to remind yourself that it's just for a season. But like Allison said, the rewards are going to last way longer. And I think you should absolutely do it, but just maybe lean into that type A organization because yeah, it's definitely going to require some rigidness. And I guess with family too, they always say you can either have good social life, good career, or enough sleep. They even say you can pick two, but I feel like your personal life, health, wellness, sleep is either going to have to be prioritized in your career or this 18-month program. And then maybe you're just going to have to cut out the social life for a little bit. Some things you're going to have to give. So maybe just communicate with your family, communicate to your friends that you're going to be in a really busy season of your life and you're not going to be able to respond to texts as much or go out to dinner, hang out. So yeah, just really lean into routines and understand that it's only going to be for a season.
Completely agree about having to give some things up with fall. We just had the equinox. I've just been thinking about letting go and the themes around that. And I have so much coming into my life and I'm adding all of these new routines, babies coming, we've moved. And the laws of the universe say, like, you know, it's give and take. So in order for all of this to have come that I wanted, the amount of sacrifice and things I've had to let go of, like, had to be equaled out. And so if you really want this, just be prepared to know that you're going to have to let go of some other stuff. And when it boils down to it, where do your priorities lie? And is that worth letting go of those other things? And if it is, then like Kara said, it's only for a season of your life as well. This is not a forever commitment. And it might be tough for a little bit, but you'll move on from it and feel really proud of yourself after.
Absolutely. Well, good luck. I hope that works out and you'll have to keep us posted.
Okay. Speaking of fall, this is an easy one. They said, how do you make your home more cozy or slash just a place that you love being?
This is such a good question. Yeah. As we're sadly going to be moving into the season where we're inside more. For fall, of course, we kind of talked about this maybe a couple episodes ago. Opposite of spring cleaning, fall cleaning, really give your home a deep clean, get rid of some things, clean out the closets, clean out the spaces that feel a little cluttered. I feel like that's the work hard, play hard part of it. Do the work hard part. Play hard, I would say, get some good candles, soy candles, hopefully not ones with fragrance or perfume, synthetic fragrance. I've been on my anti-synthetic fragrance kick for a while now, but try to buy clean candles because you are breathing in everything that you're burning. Have the windows open.
Pause on the candles. When we did our Huga episode, I've had like PTSD multiple times. We made that episode like 3 years ago. And I remember saying in the episode, Bath and Body Works is not Huga because of all of the chemicals chemicals in it. And sometimes I'll randomly be on a walk and I'm like, oh my God, was that so aggressive? Like just calling out with no empathy, like how shitty their products are. But I think it's fine. But sometimes I'll say stuff on a podcast and like years later, it will like flash into my mind. And I'm like, oh my God, does that ever happen?
No, same. I have one that I'm like literally so tempted to go back and edit where I said something so weird. I'm like, why did I say that? And it was with a guest. I'll tell you after. But I'm like, I need to go. Like, it literally haunts me still. I'm like, I need to go back and cut that question because I'm like, why did I say that? That was so weird.
And like, who knows if anyone even remembers that? And I'm just like sitting here on a rainy day, like playing it over in my mind for no reason.
You're like, some people love Bath and Body Works. Why did I say that?
I know. And then a relative got me Bath and Body Works like 2 years ago, probably for Christmas. Oh my gosh. I was like, oh my God, I hope that they never go back and then like somehow hear this episode. And I'm just like, fuck Bath and Body Works.
Oh my God. That reminds me, there's a really random story, but like I have to tell it. Connor's mom works in a school. And actually, last question, getting her master's, she got her PhD and she did that all with kids. If we had to phone a friend for that question, we should have phoned Connor's mom because I feel like she would give good advice. She would tell you definitely to do it. But she works at the school and helps some of the troubled kids, kids that get in trouble or have behavioral issues. And she had this one kid in her office one time and she had an iPad and they were watching some like educational app thing. But there was an ad and it was for JCPenney and it was like a minute long and halfway through he was like, fuck JCPenney, get this ad off the iPad. And she was like, oh my gosh. So our family quotes fuck JCPenney all the time. So when you said fuck Bath and Body Works, I'm like, oh my God, fuck JCPenney.
JCPenney and Bath and Body Works totally have the same energy too.
Yeah.
Same target audience.
I'm dead. So yeah, that's a funny one. It's just if something annoying is happening, I'm like, fuck JCPenney. And it's literally like a fourth grader, but he turned out really great. God. So shout out to that kid. He was so sweet. I actually did meet him once. But anywho.
Well, speaking of moms going back to school when they already have all these other commitments, my mom did the same. I know she has her doctorate, so I don't know if it was when my sister was already born or if it was just me. Mm-hmm. But she managed. And my dad was even working in Omaha because we were still in Kansas at the time. And she juggled all of that. And major props. And I think you just have to be willing to ask for help too. And I know that's so mm-hmm. hard for so many of us women to feel like we're allowed to ask for help. But all over social media, I keep seeing the quotes. It's like, everyone wants a village, but doesn't want to be a villager. And so tying back into the comment I made about Dunbar with the theory of having more intimate relationships instead of just a ton of people, the amount of people that are willing to come to your house and help you with childcare or bring food over to you or do things like really out of their way like that, few and far between. So I think if you're going to be in a season where you're needing really supportive friends, you might want to like slim down and have fewer friends that are really going to be able to be there for you and you have their back and they have yours and you can figure out reciprocal exchanges than having a lot of friends that you can go and catch up and get coffee with, because that's not what you need in that season. So that was kind of a long-winded thing, but I feel like it ties a lot of the themes from today's episode together. And I said my piece and now we can go back to making our house cozy.
That's so funny. No, we had to say all the things roundabout back to making your house cozy. Yes, it just look up synthetic fragrances. Like, they're so bad for us. It's pretty much polluting the air in your home. So just make sure they are natural fragrances and also soy or coconut wax.
Beeswax.
Beeswax. Yeah. The petroleum based ones is also really bad. So I won't go into the whole spiel, but that I love a good candle. Or even you can do
potpourri.
The potpourri. Yeah. I always think of poopery now, but no, a potpourri. Or you boil spices and things on the stove. I've never done that. So maybe that's in my home ec for this year. Maybe trying out one of those. Or even a essential oil diffuser. That could be a nice clean way to make your home feel cozy. Embracing the fall decoration, getting some pumpkins, giving your blankets a nice good clean, having like a cute little throw blanket on your couch. What else?
I also think really arranging it in a way that suits your life. Growing up, my mom rearranged her house all the time. It made it feel fresh. It made it feel clean. I loved how she would change it up and move things from one room to another room and move the couch from this side over there and then bring in a plant or paint a wall. I just loved it. I felt like as a kid, it was really inspiring, like coming home from school and being like, oh my God, everything's different. But if you do it enough times, you kind of start to find layouts or ways that really make sense. And last week I mentioned how I moved the desk over by the window and moved the kitchen table over to make space for these cabinets and totally reconfigured our living room. And so when Clay got back in town, he was like, I agree. Like, I wouldn't have thought of this, but it's so much better doing it this way. And that didn't even require spending any money. Didn't have to renovate anything, simply figuring out a better layout for what you need to do. So maybe you could look up some feng shui, or if even adding like a mirror, we have this massive mirror and it makes so much more light in here because it's across from the window. So it reflects more light onto the darker side, or investing in nicer curtains or something. So maybe you can have more light coming through if they're like light filtering curtains. I think a really good rug goes a long way. I'm doing one of my courses is the art of floral arranging. And so having fresh flowers in the house is something I think that like makes such a huge difference for not that much cost. More plants. I feel like you really got to put energy into the home. I've moved so many times in the last decade and growing up too. Like I think in my life, I've lived in probably 30 houses, maybe more. And it's taught me that again and again, every place is just like a house, or it's just an apartment and you make it a home. You go to someone's house and it's like, oh, your place has such good energy. It's not the house, it's what they put into it. And so you adding art or a creative touch or love into your space, lighting candles, Palo Santo, having books around, those things add the depth that a home really needs. When you walk in, you're like, oh my God, yes, like I love my place. But it does take effort. And it's not just like about buying more things. I feel like it is an energy thing. Like you have to add the special little touches of things that you care about.
Absolutely. I love all those tips. We also got a new rug recently, and I feel like that made our space look really nice and tied together. And I wanted to echo one of the things you said. I feel like lighting is a big one too. Look up what lumen light bulbs you should have in the different rooms, because I feel like cozy in the fall is, once it gets dark out, having just lamps on, no overhead bright lights, the warmth of the light bulb is what we're looking for, because there's certain numbers and you want it to be the right warmth because you don't want too white. So look that up, or even adding some lighting on your stairs. I feel like lighting really makes a space warm and cozy, and there's all these different theories. That could be a curriculum to learn about. There's so many people, good people that make content on the different types of lighting and how that translates to the vibe of your home.
Oh my God, I love that. Completely agree. We got Wix. Oh my God, I always call them Wix. Wiz light bulbs. And I've had these at the last like 5 places I've lived, but I'm such a fan of them because they're like $10. You can make them every shade from your phone. You can put them on cycles. I have my one here right by the desk, and it's currently set on theme cozy. So it's kind of like a pinkishy warm hue. And then at night you can turn it to whatever you want, but I like red light, and it's $10 and you can take it with you and you can move it into different lamps or whatever. So I highly recommend a Wiz light bulb.
Okay, heck yeah. I need to get that because I have a red light bulb for next to my bed. But sometimes I'm like, I need yellow. I don't need red right now. I'm going to be purchasing that. I've heard the Philips Hue light bulbs are also really good too. And you can change them from your phone.
That's what I used to have. Okay. But with Philips Hue, when I had it, it needed a home base system. And so you had to buy a base that then the light bulbs connected to the base. And with Wiz, you can literally just buy the light bulb and it goes through the app. So it's way more cost effective. And the IKEA ones also need a home base. Wiz is actually by Philips Hue. I'm like, I don't even know why they like rebranded, but
okay, perfect.
It's like the same thing.
I'm sold. Please include the link in the show notes. Okay, perfect. Well, I feel like your home is going to be very cozy. Let us know how it goes. Anything else?
And we'll link the Huga episode in the show notes as well. That one has a much deeper dive on the topic.
Yeah, I feel like that has things I'm forgetting that we said.
Amazing. Okay. Well, thank you guys for hanging out with us today. As always, we do this WWYBD, what would your bestie do, Q&A style episode, last episode of each month, but you can send in questions at any point in time on our website, artyfriendspodcast.com/WWYBD. They're always anonymous. So tell us your juicy secrets, bring the drama, whatever you want to know, pry. We love to hear the questions.
All right. Well, we'll catch you guys next month and we'll see you next week for another episode. Talk to you then.
Bye.
Bye.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.